What do the records California Dreaming...
All the leaves are brown. Leaves are brown. And the sky is gray.
And the rain, the park, and other things...
sitting in the rain.
...have in common. Besides being the first big hits for the respective bands, the Mamas and the Papas, and the Cowsills, they generated lots of money for the respective songwriters, John Phillips and Artie Kornfeld. And those songwriters would eventually plow some of that cash into funding two of the major rock festivals of the 1960s, Monterey Pop and Woodstock, respectively. When John Phillips and promoter Lou Adler envisioned the Monterey Pop Festival, they saw it as a current music analog of the existing Monterey Jazz and Folk Festivals. Memory paints it as a rock show, but the lineup actually featured a fairly balanced cross-section of performers. Still, there was no small feeling of trepidation when a contingent of Memphis talent headed for the stage Saturday night, June 17, 1967. There was fear that the matching suits and choreographed steps of Booker T and the MGs and the Marquee Horns might bomb with the hippie crowd. The reality was 180 degrees opposite.
This is the love crowd, right? We all love each other, don't we? Am I right?
The summer of love was born, with Otis Redding taking his place as the attending physician.
I've been loving you.
Otis had success with his previous shows at L.A.'s Whiskey A Go-Go, but nothing prepared him for the universal acceptance he received at Monterey. Back in Memphis, a new band was knocking on the door at Stax. The label had a history of groups with car-inspired names. Chip's Moment produced the first single for their subsidiary Volt Records for a band called The Triumphs, named after the sports car. The MGs were the core act for the label, not only cranking out hit singles of their own, but also providing the instrumental backing on most other releases. But when the Impalas showed up, they almost didn't find a place to park. As with so many acts, they were drawn to Stax by the open doors of Estelle Axton's record shop in the studio's lobby. They had made their way past the curtains, back to the studio, and watched the seasoned veterans make hits. They were just high school kids, but talented musicians, and managed to get gigs across the river in West Memphis nightclubs and on Beale Street, where they honed their sound covering the tunes they saw and heard at Stax. By the time they secured an audition with Steve Cropper, they had swapped the Impala's name for a new one, the Barquets. Cropper gave the band a listen but didn't hear the potential for what they had to offer and turned the Barquets down. But according to Robert Gordon's book on Stax, Respect Yourself, it was label owner Jim Stewart who told the guys to come back that weekend and audition for him. They played their rehearsed cover tunes and Jim listened and stepped away for a moment. Now at this point, the old Memphis music story repeats itself. Just like Elvis, Scotty, and Bill in that fateful 1954 audition for Sam Phillips at Sun Records, when the tape stopped and the pressure was off, they started goofing around and jamming on their own. And, as Sam Phillips did years earlier, Jim Stewart said those same fateful words. What was that? That, in this case, was a jam that would become the first hit for the Barquets. Ben Cawley, Phelan Jones, Carl Cunningham, James Alexander, and Ronnie Caldwell would break into the top 20 with that jam. It needed one more ingredient, however. Staff writer David Porter heard the track and had a great idea. He grabbed a case of Cokes, rounded up a bunch of neighborhood teens, and had them chatter and carry on in the background as he dubbed them into the track. When he cued them, they would chant, "Soul Finger." And a new party tune launched the Barquets on their way. For WKNO, I'm Rob Grayson.